Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than an intergalactic boycott. Yes, you could join our chat room, the Den Pen, by going to davinden.com and clicking chat and listen live. Or if you're listening on one of our affiliates, simply open up a new window in your browser, type in davincomedy.com, go to the Davin's Den page on the bottom, click on that, and then click chat and go. I am all alone in the studio. Pip Helix is in a remote studio. Hello, Pip.
Hi, everybody.
And
Davin.
Hi, Pip. And Joe will be here in Joe-ly fashion. Oh, probably about an hour or so from now, Joe will climb down the chimney and just bring the cheer and goodwill that Joe always does when he arrives.
Wait a minute. Who are we talking about?
Joe. Talking about Joe.
Yeah. All right, then, if that's the way we're going with it.
Sure. It's always a treat. It's always a treat to see St. Dick.
Yes.
On the show. What?
Our version of St. Nick.
No, I said St. Dick.
Oh, well, that is our version.
Indeed. On the show, I saw the new Star Wars movie, but some Trump supporters don't want me or anybody else to. They're boycotting it. Nothing like nerds on a mission. Comics in the news and the change this election has brought to comedy, or has it? Joe has a new installment of his annual holiday Santa Hell gigs. I look forward to these. It's really why I look forward to Christmas. And Drunks in the News featuring Nickelback and holiday scams you need to know about and more with Ann Jackson. So you're not here. What ails you now?
Well, I had a hell of a—I don't know if I get migraines, but I had a hell of a headache this afternoon, and then I just couldn't stop blowing my nose, which I will still apparently be doing, and I will try to hide the evidence from our poor listeners, but you never know.
Nothing like a little lubricant.
Oh, yeah, no, not in a good way. No. Not in a good way at all.
So what is this, your 24th ailment of 2016?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. This year I decided not to save it all up for winter. I decided to spread it out throughout the year.
You are consistent, if nothing else.
I know.
And what I would say 18 of them have been on Tuesdays.
It's really bizarre. I managed to get my ass to work on Mondays, and then by Tuesday, I can't anymore.
You didn't even go into work today?
No, I didn't.
Oh, they must love you at the new job.
Yeah, I'm sure that my name was spoken in joyful tones today.
It's the end of the year. We got things to do, and you took a sick day.
Yeah. We have things to do all the time. It's not quite as bad as the old gig, but I did take a sick day. But I was not in any shape to get in there. I actually, like, if you have a... Sometimes if I have a really bad headache, I also get confused. So it's not pretty when I go to work in that shape.
Well, you know, in your defense, you've been there, what, 7 weeks? It was time.
Yeah, at least.
Yeah, yeah.
It was time.
They've been spoiled because you've only taken like a couple sick days so far.
I showed up a lot.
Yeah.
So that was pretty good for me.
I'm sure they appreciated when you went to the concert in the desert. Oh, that was good. Get all those ailments and personal days out of the way, and then reboot, start anew.
Start anew.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
That's right. You know, I our chat room, thank you, Lisa. Lisa in our chat room is feeling my pain. She says, better than barfing on your desk. And I agree with her.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I don't sit far enough away from other people that they really enjoy me coming in ill. So I think this was the right call today. And I would think that you would enjoy me not coming into the Den Pen in this shape.
Yeah. I don't worry about it. We're, we're holed away from civilization. It's like a bunker. I don't really worry about it.
Yeah, but I'm not that far away from you when we're doing the show either.
Yeah, I'm impervious to other people's cooties.
Apparently you are, because I have had to haul my ass up there in bad shape, and you never catch it.
No, I'm fine. I mean, I get sick, but not from, like, licking anybody or being exposed to anybody. Probably just my own doing.
I know, that really is disappointing, too.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do? You know, it's probably, I get sick probably exposed to foreign people. People I don't know.
Oh, so you probably have all my cooties already.
I probably have antibodies. I've known you long enough.
You're immune.
I'm immune to you in many ways. I got my little helix.
You know what? We should take some of this, you know, we should produce a serum from your antibodies, and I could, you know, go into work whenever I want then.
Well, but the problem is I don't think you do want to go to work.
No, you know what? I would have rather have felt well and gone to work today than been on the couch.
Got to tough it up, sister. Got to suck it up. You got to go into work so they can see how sick you are so that they send you home.
No, actually, I did crawl in there one day because I had to go in, and they were not thrilled to see me in that shape.
Nobody's thrilled to see you in any shape, but, you know.
No, I know. Yeah, it's amazing I get invited any place.
Yeah. As comics, we don't get sick days. That's just the reality.
No, I know. You have to show up anyway.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've Joe can attest to it. I've done my, I've done two shows in a night after driving all day with no voice. But that's the, that's the gig. Nobody gives a shit.
No, I know. You just have to show up and do it no matter what. Well, I mean, I used to do community theater, and it was it doesn't matter if you're, there's no understudy because there's just not enough people. If you don't show up, then the show can't go on, and community theater can't afford to lose that much money.
Right. So you suck it up. You go. I don't think I've ever canceled.
Go.
I don't think I've ever canceled this show because I was sick.
No. I don't think we have.
No. I just tough it through.
No, but you're pretty healthy.
I try.
you tear things, and you know you have sports injuries occasionally, but you're pretty darn healthy.
Yeah, I try, you know. I don't know why that is. Maybe some of it's genetics. Maybe it's because I try to exercise somewhat. I don't know.
Yeah.
Try to eat healthy-ish, take vitamins. I don't know.
No, good for you.
I try, you know. Want to live, but there's no guarantees. No guarantees.
No, I know.
We're getting older. Well, you got older yesterday.
I've got 10 years on you.
Yeah, you do have 10
years. Enough that, like, my contemporaries, I went to a party recently, and I ended up talking about health issues, not mine, but health issues with most of the people I met there.
And that's how you know you're old, and you're with oldsters.
I know.
That really is the sign when you start comparing ailments.
I mean, we talked about other things as well, but illness came to the fore, like, in almost every conversation.
Yeah, the next level for you, now that you're at the ailment level, is who died? That is the next level.
No, I'm there too.
Oh, are you?
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of dead people in your circle?
Actually, in the past week and a half, too.
All right. Well, then, yeah. It's
we're starting to fall.
Yeah, it's pretty much time to Old Yeller you. You know, take you out, girl. Gonna take you out to the back. Is it gonna be okay, girl? You're going to go over that rainbow bridge.
Hey, wait a minute. You know what? Tom said that he's not hearing anything from the show. Is it wait a minute. Lisa's hearing it, though. It must be Tom.
Tell Tom to get the dog's paws out of his ears.
Tom adopted the most beautiful dog.
He did. He did.
I'm so proud of him.
Well, I mean, he didn't birth it.
No, but I'm proud of him for adopting a dog. I know people get their hopes set up for some particular types of dogs, but it drives me crazy when people buy animals when there's so many who need homes.
Yeah, no.
Like, oh my God, adopt them.
No, Tom did his research. He said, "I want this dog." It was up for adoption, and he went in and got the dog. He walked out with it the day of, which is, like, unheard of. They're like, you know what, we're not, it's a pit bull. We're not even going to do a check on you. We can't unload these animals. Please, take it. We have a rabid Doberman Pinscher, too, if you're interested. They I think it's
hard. No, I think that he just seemed like he, I guess he just seemed like he had his act together and he really wanted her. And, I mean, Todd presents well.
No, he does. But you know these pounds. They, you know, a lot of times, like when I got my my cats, they had to come to the house and inspect the apartment. Do ya? You found them in a fucking alley in Brooklyn. All right, let's relax.
Are you talking about Tom?
No, I'm not talking about Tom. I'm talking about my two cats.
You found them in an alley in Brooklyn?
They found my two cats. Well, one now, but when we got the two of them, the brother and the sister, they found them in an alley in Brooklyn. Well, you got to check me out. Unless I own a Chinese restaurant, I think it's going to be okay.
No, actually, I was incensed looking at Facebook yesterday because there was a woman who had adopted a dog, and she was actually a pet sitter by profession. And it turned out that she had, like, neglected and starved the dog. And the woman who – it was only because the woman who gave her the dog to foster became suspicious of her and kept, like, grilling her, where's the dog? Show me a picture. Let me see the certificate of vetting. It's only because she followed up and then went to the place to go – get the dog that the dog was saved, because she's a sick ticket.
All right, let's be honest. If your quote-unquote career, if you're going on LinkedIn, is dog sitter, chances are you don't have your shit together as a human being, okay? I mean, nobody aspires to be to be pet sitter. That's what you do.
Are you kidding me? If I could take care of dogs and cats all day and get paid and be able to, like, if I could support myself in the way that I'm living now,
you could be homeless and support yourself the way you're living now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna get the same kind of money like dog sitting as I would at the current day job. You know, but if I could, yeah.
Yeah. Can Tom hear now? Can Tom hear now? Did he get squared away?
Sorry.
Can Tom hear now?
Tom can hear, because he's beating me up for saying that I seemed like he had his act together.
Well, I mean, hold on. I hate to do this. I hate to defend you, but in her defense, Tom, she's never fucking met you. I mean, I mean, Joe and I have met you. I've hung out with you on multiple occasions. I've stayed at your house. I can vouch if you have yourself together, and he does. But Pip can only go by this and Facebook. So settle down. You know, relax. I don't think she's the one to give personal references. She hasn't met you. Ease off the fucking sick girl over there, Tom.
Well, now thank you. I give Tom the benefit of the doubt because I know you guys have gone out and met him, and I've talked to him for years now, so it's like I assume that he's not a serial murderer, but I could be wrong.
He could be a serial murderer. I don't know if he is or isn't. I mean, my experiences have been positive. Listen, I wouldn't say that Joe's not a serial murderer. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, listen, my experiences with Tom have been far more pleasant than my experiences with Joe.
Yeah, but being unpleasant does not a serial killer make. I mean, the three of us together could have murdered most of the Eastern Seaboard with our attitude.
All right, hold on.
We haven't.
No, here's the thing. You could never be a serial murderer because a serial murderer doesn't get to fucking call out sick. You know? If you're going to kill, it's time to kill. It's not, I have the sniffles, I can't kill tonight. You know, I can't clean my prints off the fucking gun. I have a headache. No. Serial killers are doers.
No, but I could set my own schedule that way. That would be perfect for me.
No, there's a lot of rigor and detail. To be successful, you need to be detail-oriented. If you really want to get yourself a run going where you can get up to that serial killer level.
Yeah, but see, the thing is that I would probably work out all the details on an Excel spreadsheet because that's the way I roll.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I don't think you could be. I don't think you're a self-motivated enough, to be fair.
Well, maybe that's a good thing.
Well, I mean, for innocent people it is.
Yeah, it's kept my neighbors in you know.
Not really
here.
Not really good for shit I need you to do, but you know. But as far as the free world, yeah, it's a positive.
Yeah, I think I think for most innocent people, you know, the fact that I don't go from zero to serial killer, I think that it's pretty remarkable.
Joe could not be a serial killer, but he could definitely be an act of rage killer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Joe's got that in him.
Do you remember, I don't know if you will, but Michael Douglas was in this movie called Falling Down?
Alive. Oh, sorry, we're not playing that this week.
He was in a movie called Falling Down.
Yes, I remember.
And it was about this guy whose life had just crumbled around him, and one day he just lost it.
Yep, I remember.
You remember?
I do. Good movie.
Yeah, went out with a gun and started just, like, killing people he came across as he went.
In L.A. It happened in L.A. He was, like, in traffic,
yeah,
having bad job issues. Yep.
Yep, yep. And it was just, like, unfortunately, I think that a number of people that I could actually point to, I could see them having that downward spiral and then hitting that day where they're like, well, I'm going to bring, instead of putting lunch in my briefcase, I'm putting a gun and maybe an apple.
Yeah, that would be Joe. I could see Joe having that day.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think that we have to do our best to keep him from getting to that day.
I am much more pleasant around him now because of the public.
You're doing your duty.
I am. I'm being a good citizen. I'm keeping Joe from killing because I know his soon-to-be ex is pushing him that way.
Oh, my God, I know. I think that it's, like, it's become so uncivil in his domestic life that I think that just as a society, we have to, like, come together to keep Joe from killing us all. In a murderous rage one day.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we should do that.
Shouldn't we?
I mean, I thank my stars every day that Trump won, because it's one thing that Joe looks forward to, living in Trump's America. You know, puts a little smile on his face, makes him happy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, thank goodness Donald won, to make Joe happy and not kill. See?
Oh, no, it's true, because I don't want to, you know, put the whammy on it, but I'm thinking that that would be one important marker towards the snap.
Oh, I agree. If Hillary was president, yeah, I mean, there's chances Joe would be on the lam right now. So.
I give you one guess, who would be buried in the backyard?
Well, I think there'd be several people, but I know who'd be first. So, do I have the makings of snap killer or serial killer?
No.
Oh, thank you. I'm healthy.
Yeah, no, I really don't think that you do. I think that there's, as much as you can, you know, be, like, sarcastic about it or, you know, like say terrible things as we are prone to do on this show.
That's the gig.
I
said that's the gig.
Yeah, I know. But I don't think that you have it in you to actually go on Phil Killer like Joe and I do.
You know why? Because I'm a liberal pussy. That's why.
Why does that make you less murderous?
Because I'm a liberal pussy. I don't have the balls to fucking kill. I just want a participation award. That's why. Maybe attempted homicide. And I want to get recognized for that.
You special fucking snowflake.
I am a special, not quite murderous, maybe manslaughter snowflake.
Maybe that's what makes you a special snowflake, is that you don't have murderous rage.
No, I don't really get that angry. I get angry, but I keep my shit together.
Yeah, I have never physically harmed any person, ever.
But the cats have stories.
Sorry?
I said, but the cats have stories.
Oh, shit. Why do you think they wear their fur so long? They're hiding scars.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, Lisa said everyone is one idiot encounter away from a snap killing.
True. That's not true.
Not everyone.
No, I mean, some people.
I think that's an exaggeration, but she gets the people that are.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I'm probably at my worst in traffic. I understand road rage.
There aren't more rage murders in traffic, because that brings out the beast in people.
It really does, because I need to get someplace quicker. I need to get someplace 5 minutes earlier than I'm going to get there.
Well, I usually do, too, but I think that there's something about being surrounded by all this tons of metal, psychologically, everybody behaves like they just walked into Thunderdome.
Yeah, I'm bad with the road rage, but I really do appreciate the fact that you don't think I am murderous. That's very nice of you.
Well, you're welcome. I mean,
it's the holidays. We're being nice.
Oh, God. Well, let's stop that immediately. Can I tell you about somebody that I did want to snap murder?
Okay.
Recently? I was at a benefit concert, a small gathering, but still. And one of the bands has this very vocal fan, a very large, very vocal fan, who apparently follows them around. And, I mean, they have just enough of a cult following that, you know, they are a known name, but, it's not like they're going to fill Madison Square Garden. They can play little places, and in certain circles, they're well-known. But this guy that obviously follows them and knows the members of the band personally is just this drunken buffoon whistle machine. He does that loud, piercing whistle that people do in concerts. You know the one?
Yeah.
And he does it every song, and at some points he actually does it like he's taken a solo during the song.
You know what? I like a good whistle solo. You don't get enough of that.
It's like, dude, you're not a saxophone with your two pinky fingers.
Well, hold on now. Hold on now. I think Axl Rose had a great whistle solo in the song Patience.
Oh, no. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. There are songs that contain whistling, and that's fine. Not this. Not this shrill, piercing the inner eardrum, like, look at me, I am special.
Or as Joe would call it, the Hillary whistle.
The Hillary whistle, why that?
Shrill, ear piercing, look at me. I'm pretty sure Joe would call that the Hillary whistle.
Well, you know what? If you put him in a pantsuit, done.
If I put Joe in a pantsuit? Or this guy?
No. the lummox who was making this god awful racket.
Uh
huh. Oh, my God. Now, not only is he, there's not elderly, certainly, but there's, you know, like a middle-aged woman who's in the band, and she's good-looking, and he needs, but she's married to the singer, guitar player. He needs to let her know how good-looking he thinks she is during the song.
Did he take out a nut?
I don't know that he could have reached down and get into his pants that easily.
Oh, that's unfortunate, because that's my move.
He's a big dude.
That's my move.
What do you do with it once you've taken it out?
I just show it, and I give him a little look, like a little sideways look and a little knowing nod, like, yeah, you want this nut. That's my move. It's my move. So that's why you always have to wear, like, you can't wear pants that are too tight. That's why you can't wear the skinny jeans when you got my move. You either need easy access to a fly or maybe some running pants. That's what you got to do.
Running pants. So that maybe you could just sort of, from the outside, isolate it and like kind of show it off.
Yeah, it's not an easy maneuver because you don't want to get your nut caught. Certainly.
You don't want to get the Frank on top of the beans.
Right. Well, no, not that, but like a zipper can be harrowing, or or if we're talking concert situation, you're getting jostled. I mean, then it's hard to look sexy with a nut out. You get jostled, and then you accidentally punch yourself in the nut. So
I think you could have stopped that sentence with "it's hard to look sexy with a nut out."
Oh no! My nuts are wonderful.
Now you're saying one.
Well, yeah, I don't want to be too forward.
You don't want to be too cocky?
No, I see what you did there. No, I don't want to.
I saw what you did there too.
Listen, I don't want to be too forward. A little respect, especially since they're married. But, you know.
Forward, but here, presenting left one.
It's a tease. You know, just go, hey, I'm not saying you can have this, but I'm not saying you can't. That's my move.
You know, I I've not seen anybody work that move, but you never know.
Well, but wait a minute. If everybody was doing it, it wouldn't be my move. I'm not a hack.
Oh, you know what? Very good point, sir.
Exactly. I'm an artiste. My nutsack brings all the girls to the yard.
You know what? That could almost be an ad slogan for peanuts or something.
For Mr. Peanut?
For Mr. Peanut?
Planters Peanuts?
this nutsack brings all the girls to the yard.
Absolutely. And that's a sophisticated nut. He's got a monocle and a top hat. I mean,
I was just going to say, the monocle and the top hat adds that little bit of class that you would need with the maneuver.
Let's be honest. You see a nut with a monocle and a top hat, you're intrigued. It's not a nut you ignore.
Well, you know what? Just the nut itself has a tiny monocle and top hat?
Yeah. Yes.
I need to see what the penis is wearing.
Well, listen. I can't reveal everything to the audience. But, you know.
It wouldn't be as special.
But he's dressed to the nines. He don't let you down.
Every girl's crazy about a sharp-dressed nut.
See? Exactly. So.
I know.
So, yeah. So, I get this guy. I get what this guy's doing. He's trying to draw attention. It's just a problem if you can't get to your nut because, you know, you got an overhang. That's a problem.
Lisa says, well, he is Mr. Peanut. So, yeah.
Mr. Peanut!
Nice nuts.
Mr. Peanut, and your so-called scrotum.
Wait a minute, we're doing Am Jackson already? That's got to be one of the categories.
Sure, it's one of my favorite bits. Of course we do it. Do it throughout the whole show.
So-called scrotum!
I stroke Mr. Peanut, and now I shall report to mass media.
Oh, wait, I forgot the best part. So, in his awkward mating call from the back of the room.
Mating call?
Yeah, it's like, I can't even do it because I don't want to blow out the microphones.
Here, but, is this it? Does it sound like this? Like that?
No, it's just that shrill one-note blast.
Yeah, I can't do that.
Like, horrible.
I can't do that.
So, like, and it's echoing in this little, like, low-ceilinged room that we're standing in, so it's just blowing people's eardrums out. And it was really irritating me. And then one of my girlfriends showed up, and she goes, oh, my God. I'm like, right? Right? So, but what was really awkward was at some point, Mr. Helix, my two friends and I are sitting at a table watching the music, and their set is done, and his set is throbbing, and he goes bold elephant charging up towards her while she's trying to get her gear off the stage, and at one point he picks her up and twirls her around like she has any say in this, and at one point while he's manhandling her, he gets a big meaty on one of her cheeks. I'm like, oh, this is so awkward. And she's like, ha, ha, ha. I can tell that she doesn't want to offend this giant,
Well, listen, you can't upset the fans. I let them have their way because, you know. Yeah, sure, because you got to keep a fan base. You got to keep them happy.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that you have to, like, invite assault.
I don't invite. I just don't report.
Or you don't report.
I don't report.
Do you tolerate physical assault?
I have been physically assaulted. I wouldn't say tolerate.
Well, I mean, you have, like, somebody, like, touching you?
I've been hit. Girls. No. Girls usually want, and it doesn't happen that much anymore, you know, because these are different days, and it's Obama's America, unfortunately. Hopefully it changes under Trump. But, you know, there was a time when I signed a lot of boobs. There was a time.
Yeah, but signing the boob isn't quite the same as having somebody grab the boob.
No, I understand. Maybe once I was grabbed. Maybe once. Which is very startling for a guy.
Was your nut out?
No, it was after a show. My nut was away.
Oh, okay. Okay, so you weren't like pulling your move.
No, never from the stage. That's using my power, and I wouldn't do that. I'm not uncouth. But no, all kidding aside, this guy should have had his arm broken. You can't go grabbing the talent.
No, of course not. But wait, this was the person that hit you?
No, it was a girl that grabbed me.
Oh, it was a girl that grabbed you? And
yeah.
Where specifically?
I think
show us on the doll where she grabbed you.
I think this is years ago, but I want to say my package.
You want to say your what?
Package, UPS.
Oh, she went through for the package.
Yeah.
You know, were you not with the missus at that point, it could have been a good night.
If I wasn't with the missus, a lot of nights could have been good nights. But fortunately, I have been, so it's a lot of nights of basic cable.
Yes.
I mean, you know, Joe's been with me when I've had opportunities. Tom's been with me when I've gotten yelled at, so I should stop hanging out with Tom.
But it was Tom yelling, right?
No, it wasn't Tom yelling. Tom was drinking a beer.
Oh.
But Tom was drinking a beer, being completely supportive and a good friend. But yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, listen, you're an entertainer. People take liberties. They are, we've talked about, there's an intoxication element to it, but you can't go running and grabbing the talents. You can't do that.
No, you can't.
And
you shouldn't even be saying certain things to him. You were with me when that guy told me that my breasts were sublime.
Well, when you get that type of compliment, you say thank you.
I did, but I was not really sure that I should have been thanking him.
Listen, your average creep doesn't throw sublime in there. You go, you know what? I appreciate that. Thank you. That's a resume builder.
I appreciate your vocabulary,
yes,
sir.
Yes. SAT for the TIT? Thumbs up.
SATIT. No, wait a minute.
No. Listen, I, you know me, I like educated people. I like people that can speak well. So I was pleased that you got that compliment.
You do remember that night, don't you?
It was years ago.
It was many years ago.
Yeah.
Well, don't make it sound like it couldn't happen today, but I mean...
No,
it was many years ago that happened.
We're talking about the specific incident, that's why. That's all.
Say again?
I said we're talking about that specific incident.
Yeah,
I don't think you've ever...
I just thought, that's interesting. No one's ever done that before.
Yeah, I don't think you've ever been with me when a girl was forward with me, so...
No, I've never seen that.
No, exactly.
I have never seen that happen to you.
Hard to believe. I know.
No, I mean, you were with the missus, not married yet, but you were with the missus when I met you.
Right, but people don't know that, and I don't talk about it in the act.
No. I mean, like, you don't say, hey, girls, back off, I'm attached from the stage. I mean, if should they come barreling at you like this wildebeest did at this poor girl, in the band I was watching, you might want to, if that's going to happen, you might want to start announcing it. It was crazy.
I mean, I have one joke now where I mentioned having a wife and kid. One joke now, but I don't really do a lot about that. But, yeah. But, you know what, musicians are, you know, people are attracted to musicians more than they are to comics.
I mean, pretty much most people think that they're, you know, like, I guess, a lot of people have the fantasy of being with the rock star, you know? So
I know I do.
Which one?
Steven Tyler. He lays me down. Those big, beautiful lips. Just go, ooh, what the cow! That's, I make him
scream. Tying you up with the scarves off of the microphone stand?
Preach to me, girl. Preach to me. I'm there with you. Is my nut out yet, or does he take it out? No, I don't. Then we won't have a show.
I get that. And I get that he's probably just this, like, you know, he's probably a good-hearted, good-natured guy.
No. Unless he's somewhere on the scale, that's not good-hearted and good-natured. Unless you're on the scale, you know that's inappropriate.
Oh, yeah, no. I, it, 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 grabbing her the way he was. I mean, she wasn't saying no, and she wasn't exactly wrestling him off.
All right, Cosby.
No. I just mean, I don't know the personal relationship between these two people, but to me, I was uncomfortable for her.
All right. Oh, you and I are pretty close. Would you agree?
Yeah.
If I go running up to you and grab your ass, are you going to have an issue?
I am.
Okay, so... And you know, with all the damage that ass has seen, it's pretty brave on my behalf.
I know. I wouldn't even go anywhere near there.
But still, I mean, you and
don't
I
know what might happen.
You and I are close. We've known each other for years. We talk about everything. And even you would have an issue if I behaved in that manner, especially if Mr. Helix was there.
Yeah, I would.
Okay. I think many reasonable people would have an issue with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I was kind of floored, like, oh, wow, they have to put up with this. This doesn't look good. But
this doesn't look good.
It really didn't look good.
It's part of the contract.
But besides them having to put up with him, everybody in the room had to put up with him. He was acting like, you know, he was in their living room. It's like, oh, God, shut up. But he was so huge, no one would talk to him.
Yeah, but that's what happens. I mean, listen, you know, you need the shut-in to build a fan base. You need the awkward, you need the person who's awkward socially to build a fan base. You do. I mean, I encourage everybody who is damaged and cannot have healthy interpersonal relationships to listen to our show.
Yes, let's definitely encourage that.
And you know what? Through the years, we've had those people.
There have been the odd duck that passes through our glance.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm like, there, but for the grace of God, go I, because I've been pretty strange, too.
Hey, you know what? I love them. I love them. Every single one of them and all their weird idiosyncrasies. Love them all.
Even the swastikas that ran across the screen?
Not a fan of that. Well, see, that was a more innocent time.
An innocent time.
No, but that's, you know, we talked about this last week. That was the time when you go, well, there's a few knuckleheads. But, you know, now it's a thing.
I know.
More stories now.
It's like, at one point, I think that was just sort of, I mean, not that long ago. Of course, there are white supremacists, but I think it was pretty much the purview of the 13-year-old boy trying to get a rise out of people.
Right.
At the end of the conversation, you forgot to say hi,
Victor. You know, well, I have my own answer for, you know, who let that out of the bag, but...
No, well, no, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit later. You know, it's not his fault. He just... emboldened.
Kind of tapped into something that was already festering.
Right. You know, these people, and we'll talk about it a little bit later, but, you know, these people seem to think that they have one of their own running things, and I'm not saying he is one of them, but that's seems to be... there is a lot of instances now, and I just put on Facebook today, if Donald Trump hated these white supremacists and tweeted about them as much about Vanity Fair, New York Times, and Alec Baldwin, he'd really be making a positive impact. But he doesn't do that.
Right. I know. But that itself is making a statement.
Right. Which is troubling. But, listen, I don't have a high opinion of people that do those things, and I don't have a very high opinion of our president-elect, and that's a reason why. But that's neither here—that's neither here nor there. So what happened with this girl?
Well, she just kind of, you know, was placed down on the ground eventually and kind of went, ha, ha, ha. You know, I mean, she's a grown woman, so she can defend herself and everything. But the thing is that it was an awkward moment. I looked at Mr. Helix because I was like, I wanted to see, was he catching the show that was going on in the aisle here?
And, he was catching it.
And we agreed, we looked at each other and went, awkward, because it was kind of loud, so we couldn't really talk about it. But nothing seemed to come of it. He went over, and they were all being jolly and taking pictures together and everything. So
they're cool with it.
I don't think that there was offense on her side, perhaps, but I was grossed out. I thought, you know, that's kind of the shame. I mean, and I'm not talking to our fans. Please don't take offense, guys. I'm not talking about you. But it's like I see famous people having to deal with people who are inappropriate with them or, you know, like a little too stalkery. And you go, oh my God. Is that the price of fame? You have to, like, be nice to people who are, like, going to throw you up in the air and grab your ass if you're not surrounded by people to stop it.
Yeah, I don't think comics deal with that as much. First of all, because we'll bang anything. Second of all, if you're successful at this, you're not really playing the same venues all the time, say as a local band is, you know,
right,
where, you know, they play the same place once a month, once every 6 weeks, or that's their regular gig, so they build those connections. I mean, listen, people take liberties after shows, and again, we'll talk about that in a little bit. Most of the time, it's affection.
Yeah.
But people take liberties. People want to touch you. People want to talk to you. And, you know, most of the time it's positive. It's not always positive.
Coming up and talking to somebody after a show and, you know, saying, hey, I like your this or that was funny, or I like that song or anything, that's totally harmless. I've done that a million times, and, I would like to think that I did not terrify the people I was doing it with.
No,
you never know.
Well, Tom's been with me post-show. You know, when I talk to people and shake hands and everything, you know, it's not, I'm just going to say, I'm socially uncomfortable, and it's not their fault, it's my fault. I, as I'm getting older, you know, I'm less wanting to deal with people that I don't know, and people I do know, to be quite frankly. But it's part of the gig. It's, you know, it's good PR, and I'm happy they had a good time, and, you know, people most of the time are nice. But, you know, nobody knows what the performance...
It's kind of like you're a host.
What?
It's kind of like you're a host at a party, in a way.
I guess. I mean, listen, if I wasn't selling merch, I might not be out front as much. Although maybe I would. Maybe I would still need that affirmation that everybody had a good time and they loved me. I don't know. There's certainly an aspect of that to it. But, you know, it's the gig. It's the gig. You stand out there, you take pictures, and you're appreciative of it. You sign things. But, you know, and you probably allow things that you wouldn't normally allow if you weren't a performer. You know, as far as, you know, people get maybe in your space.
Yeah.
You know, being very close or being openly affectionate, for lack of a better word. It's part of the
gig.
Right. But, you know. If you don't say anything about it, like this woman did it, and it's very uncomfortable if she knows this guy's a fan, you know, it just encourages them. It is what it is.
Yeah, well, that's, I mean, and I wonder, where is the line? Like, where do you, what would you tolerate? What would you have to tolerate before you go, whoa, and then it's always, well, on the absolute flip side, I was reading an article about a recent interview that Jerry Lewis was doing.
Oh, I saw that interview.
And, yeah.
It's for the Hollywood Reporter. It's going around Facebook right now. Now you can go to the Hollywood Reporter's page, and they were doing a report on people that were in their 90s and still performing. That was the basis of this article, and it did not go well. The answers were very terse. It was very uncomfortable.
So awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently he's been like that for a long time with people, but I went further because I didn't know this about him. I don't really think much about him at all, but I went and read a linked article about a casino show that he had done. Not a casino, I'm sorry, but like a...
An old person show.
A big room show.
Yeah, I saw that too. Go ahead, you can explain
it. Right. And he was just absolutely abysmally awful to the people that came up to the mic to say something to him.
Let's be honest, he insulted them.
He insulted them, and not like in a Don Rickles kind of you're in on the joke way. He was basically, I mean, it was almost, and I don't use this word, but he was almost like saying, what are you, a retard? What are you doing here?
His,
you know what I mean?
His inner me was in him. No.
No, I don't think I was.
No.
These people were like, oh, you've been my idol for so long, with a little tear in their eye glistening. And they're like, do you suppose I could shake your hand? And he's just like, no, next.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I get it. He's old. He's crotchety. But you got to appreciate the fans. There's a fine line. You can't let them get away with, you know, crossing a line. But you got to appreciate them, because without the fans, you got no career. That's really what this is.
Yeah. I mean, you could do jokes in your bathroom mirror.
Like, for instance, we have, like, punishment songs, which we have not done in a long time.
They've been very good.
Yes. And, you know, we discipline our fans, but at the end of the day, we say terrible things to them, but we're nice.
Of course.
We're available to our fans. I respond to every email I get, every Facebook message. You know, I always take the time. And by the way, one of our fans wishes you and Joe a Merry Christmas.
Nice.
Yeah, out in Idaho. So I'm supposed
very
to
nice.
Pass that on to you now that we talk about it. Yeah, I mean, so listen, it's part of the job, man. It's part of the job. I mean, I'm still at the point where I'm appreciative of anybody's reaching out, to be fair.
I am, too. But you know what? Not one of these people has touched my butt yet, because then I'm going to know where my line is.
Well, they're fans of the show, so why would they?
Well, they know better.
Exactly. They don't want to get lost in an anal fissure.
You know how fragile that area is.
Exactly. They're respectful.
Yes.
They're respectful.
I appreciate that, you guys. I do.
They're respectful of your moneymaker. No, I mean, listen, there's a line, and I think with women, that line is, you know, you got to be more respectful of that line just because of the gender roles. You know? Like,
yeah.
Theoretically, I could get picked up like a rag doll by a bigger woman. It could happen, you know.
I've tried.
I mean, you know, it would be awkward, but you know what? You kind of allow it. But I don't know if you can grab the married guitarist's ass. I don't know if that's allowed. Probably not.
I don't think it's a good idea.
But then again, if the singer don't give a shit, then you know what? That's on him.
Well, I mean, yeah. If he's just like, yeah, well, it's part of the routine. Or maybe he wasn't looking at that moment. He was not standing right there, but he was in the room, certainly.
Listen, if she's not pushing him away or slapping him or admonishing him, it's on her, too.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is. I mean, I, full disclaimer, I was uncomfortable for her. I don't necessarily know.
Of course you were, because you're a white female liberal.
Don't want to be swung around by a mutant?
No, but that's what white liberals do. White middle-aged liberals do. They get offended for somebody else. That's what you do.
Well, all right. Then guilty as charged.
Exactly.
That's what that is.
At least you didn't write it on a comment card, so we got that.
I was offended because some mutant was bothering the talent.
Yes.
It's like, why? What does that have to do with you, lady? I'm just mentioning that. He was bothering me with his, you know, blowhorn of a mouth.
Well, I got
and then he was bothering her.
I got in trouble in Calgary. I got banned in Calgary. I told this story in a club where some guy stood up in the middle of the show and started saying all Nazi shit to me. And some woman complained a week later about what he said. So I got banned. So I mean,
oh, my God.
Yeah. So I mean,
you got banned because he was spouting off his mouth.
Yes.
I don't get these club owners. They make no sense.
Welcome to comedy.
They get anybody to work their rooms at all.
Well, we're desperate.
No, but they weed everybody out. No, they find objection with everybody. So it's like, how's there anybody in there?
Well, that's the thing about comics. They're like roaches. There's always around. There's always a lot of them. Just look in the corners, turn on the lights, watch them scurry.
Oh, my God. Is that what that is?
Yes, that's what that is.
Oh. God. Terrible.
Yes.
This place is loaded with comedians.
I think they're in my cabinet.
I've been spraying.
Comics are roaches. But yeah, that's the gig. That's the gig.
No, it's true. Because everybody wants to do it. Everybody thinks they can do it.
Listen, I let Tom grab my ass repeatedly. Who am I to say no?
Well, I mean, but you came back and you were all aglow, so I figured that's what that was about.
Well, you know, I did it for the show.
Yeah.
I'm a team player.
Yeah.
I'm a team player.
Yes. You literally took one for the team.
I've taken many for the team. I am not appreciated.
Well, you know, Lisa's saying that whole thing was, it's the Canadian sensibilities of Calgary.
What the fuck does that mean?
I don't know. That's what she's saying.
The Canadian sensibilities. I mean, this was a drunken Indian who had been to jail yelling Nazi shit at me. Some other woman called the club complaining about how offended she was about this guy. And I get fired. There's no sensibility.
Well, I mean, what would have happened if had you not been a Jewish comedian? Well, he would have been spouting about something else, and that comedian would have been thrown out. What the hell?
Here's what you need to know about Canadians. They're just like everybody else. There's plenty of wonderful ones. And I know a bunch of them, Canadians. And there's plenty of assholes. And I've encountered them, too. It's almost like Canadians are real people.
No, don't even say that.
I'm saying that.
You're calling that one?
Yeah, I mean, because, listen, geography has nothing to do with this stuff. And that's why I try to get across to people who go, oh, people from this area are stupid. People from this area are rude. No. You'll meet rude and stupid people in your travels, but you'll meet them everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Yes. Everybody thinks that they're, like, a certain place or group has cornered the market on stupid. But no, we pretty much all share that.
No,
as a race.
I get that all the time when I'm doing jokes. I go, well, it's, you know, you are in town, you know, whatever. And I always say, I go, no, it's not the geography, people. It's you. It's not the geography.
It's all of you.
Yes. There's plenty of normal people in this town, in this city. You're just not them.
Yeah, none of the normal ones came to this show, damn it.
Or they're here, but they're not acting like assholes.
I know.
I mean, that's the reality.
Really. It's the ones that, the squeaky wheel, those are the ones that you have to deal with.
Yeah, exactly. And
There's always somebody that thinks that, well, and once that they said something, maybe they said something funny, but once they said that and it was acknowledged, oh no, now they're emboldened and they're just not going to stop.
Well, they're trying to help the show.
That you were calling them real people, Canadians, I mean.
What? She's offended that
she said we are not real people.
All right. Well, here's how good I am to our fans. Fuck off. Fuck off,
you. Said that, Lisa, not me.
Fuck off, you cyborg. What are you, a droid? Of course you're real people. No, but
I don't know. I have not met her face to face yet.
Yeah, well, I mean, no, but there's that that misnomer that Canadians are nice, and they are very nice, but there's assholes too.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, so that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's all I'm saying about that.
She says back at you.
I wouldn't have it any other way. But she does prove my point.
There's nice ones, and then there's ones that say back at you.
No, it's not. Well, no. I mean, she just said a horrible thing to me.
Yes. You started it.
Maybe. But if she was really a nice Canadian, she would have turned the other cheek.
No, and then some galoot would have grabbed it.
Well, maybe Lisa would like it. I'm not going to judge her.
Yeah, I know. Well, I don't know. I got a good look at this guy. I don't think anybody was liking that.
Oh, stop. Everybody can get laid. It's just about price.
No, you know what? That's true.
Yes.
That's true. There's a lid for every pot.
Exactly.
I'm not going to judge.
Exactly. So,
But,
go on.
Oh, speaking of a lid for every pot?
Yes.
At a party I was at recently,
mm-hmm.
I was joking with this woman who I had just met. Because something happened that she like reached for something and her sweater got caught on a little hook on my sweater. And so I made some joke about, you know, if we can't get disentangled, you know, we'll have to take her home. She got a little too excited about this.
Well, listen, everybody wants a piece of Pippi Hilux.
No, I mean, she wanted to come home with me and Mr. Hilux, like a party favor.
Nothing wrong with that.
I was kind of surprised.
Well, nothing wrong with that. Don't sell yourself and Mr. Helix short.
No, I guess not. She was the she was kind of disappointed when that wasn't really going
to
happen.
Well, maybe you should be better to our fans and let that happen.
No. You know what? I've tried to give away my hoard, and there's no takers.
No.
I'm not going to give away me and Mr. Helix.
Nobody wants the hoard.
I know.
That game failed miserably, and then you tried to bring it back, and no.
I did.
No.
Still no takers.
No. No, I won't even accept it.
I have some good stuff.
Okay. I just give you stuff that I don't want now.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, I did actually give away a car full of stuff to somebody who was in need, so.
That's nice.
The pipeline is moving along.
That's nice. Good for you. You're a nice
human
being.
Stuff is going to where it needs to be.
Good. You're good.
Yeah.
You're a fine human being.
Oh, I wouldn't go that far. I was just trying to clear out a small hole so I could fit some more cats.
Is that what you call foreplay?
Could be.
It's time to clear out that small hole. I'm going to stuff it with cats. I don't understand. Shut up. We're playing a game. What's the game called? Clean up this mess.
You know what? Mr. Helix would be fully on board with that game.
Of course he would.
Yeah.
Either version of it.
He's afraid of getting, you know, killed underneath a landslide.
Nobody wants to die by the horde.
No, they don't.
Nobody wants to be smothered.
No.
No.
Well, it depends on how you mean that.
Nobody.
So what's going on with you this week?
So I went in to be part of my friend's radio show, because when I'm not doing this, I'm helping out other people bring mediocrity to the airwaves. It's what I do.
You're a decent human being.
I am. I'm like the Mother Teresa of radio.
Okay.
No, you don't think so?
Well, you do spend a lot of time with lepers.
I do. Thank goodness you stay home.
I'm glad you got my drift.
Yes, I did. So he airs the show. It emanates from a college, and it's where we aired from the Sam Sorbo. We did the Sam Sorbo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you know what I'm talking about.
I do.
So we were not – it's a country music song station. Not station. Yeah. It's a country music show. Country music
right.
show. And you know how much I love country music.
Uh-huh. Live for it.
You know me. I just can't have enough of that line dancing.
I know. You know, slide guitar and cowboy boots, and you're hard.
Well, I got one of the two. So I'm semi, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Just a little chubby.
Hey, now.
What?
I'm doing crunches.
I meant slightly, not all tiny.
No, I was talking about, you said chubby. I said, I'm doing crunches.
Point at you about that, please.
Anyway, so I'm informed that we're not allowed to discuss politics, and they can't play patriotic music. For instance, like Lee Greenwood.
Wait a minute. I can't wrap my mind around this. It's a country station that won't play patriotic country?
Like, isn't there three songs? The songs that I lost my girl, I lost my dog, I love my country. I mean, that's pretty much country. That's the genre.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like a third of the genre.
Yeah, at least. Yeah. So
I mean, you left out parts about loving your Ford truck.
Okay. Fine. There's that. So I love my... Hello? Oh, I love my...
Yeah, I'm here.
No, I heard a snap, and I didn't know what the fuck that was.
It's me! I'm going postal!
Be careful, AIDS cat. But anyway... But, yeah, so we can't play patriotic music. Now, we said that my friend said after 9/11, they played a lot of patriotic songs. Everybody was
right.
Wrapped in the flag after 9/11.
Oh, my God, yeah.
You could not be American enough after 9/11.
Yeah, you had better be.
Exactly. But now they're afraid of being divisive. I mean, I consider myself fairly tolerant. I think I'm open to a lot of different things as far as people's views. But
right.
If you're living in this country and you're offended by a song that espouses love for this country, maybe you should leave. And I'm not one of these people, oh, you don't like my favorite politician? Get the fuck out. I'm not that guy.
No.
But, I mean, if patriotic music gets your panties all scrunched up and chafing you, you got issues. I mean, that shouldn't be on the table.
I'm trying to wrap my mind around why someone would think that it would divide people. Like, one side or the other does not love the country?
Well, you know, each side likes to cast aspersions that the other does not. But, I mean, I think everybody, if you're living here, unless you hate the country, and I'm not really worried about your feelings if you do, I don't really think patriotic music should be on the table of things that we need to rein in.
I agree with you, because I'm just, now, taking what you said before, that yes, one side is pointing at the other and saying, well, you're not a true patriot, or you did this, or you did that, and that's not good for the country, yada, yada. But putting that aside, if you, the listener, are sitting there and going, I'm offended that they played this about love of country, well, who's getting that offended about that?
I don't know, but apparently somebody may be.
That's crazy. What a really strange self-censorship rule.
I could only imagine that is giving in to the far left, I guess. Right?
I'm unaware of this faction of the left that feels that if you say something that you love your country, that is going to enrage someone. Now, they're not singing, I love fracking, I love to be racist. You know, I mean, that's going to put some people completely over the beam. But I'm saying that if you're just like, I love my country, you know, we're free here, and it's always been great, and liberty and bravery, or whatever you're singing, it's like, you're not, how can that be controversial?
I don't know. But like I said, I guess that would have to go under the far left and being too PC. You know, we don't want to offend anybody, I guess.
Yeah, but you and I have been,
we're not far left.
Have been told that we're too PC or too liberal. And
yeah,
like,
we're told by that.
We're
told that by right-wing nuts.
Yeah.
You know, in reality, neither one of us is far left.
No.
And in reality, we are both center-left.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. So we've been told that by people that are out of their fucking gourd on the right. So
yeah.
I could only assume that, you know, people that would complain about a patriotic song are out of their fucking gourd on the left.
I'm thinking, because, I mean, look, if you want to start your own country, well, yeah. You're going to have a problem with a song that's patriotic about America. But then, you know, the United States is still the country you're living in. And, you know, if you, this strange faction in Utah, are having a problem with that, well, just don't listen to this station instead of nobody else can hear these things.
Like I said, I mean, I think to give into this is setting ourselves up for failure. But I think it comes from a place on the far left that would, you know, annoy sane people and especially people on the right, you know? I guess that falls under special snowflake. I guess it goes under that category.
Yeah, you know, I am not, like, a person who's all excited about, let's be as rude as we possibly can. What the hell am I doing on this show again? But that's another story.
you're not as rude as you possibly could be.
No, I'm not as rude as I possibly could be, and I'm kind of happy about that.
Yes.
But I don't really believe in brutal honesty. I think that you can be honest and still be kind.
You believe in tact. You know? You believe in tact.
Yes.
Yes.
Tact and diplomacy.
No, not in Trump's America. We don't need that.
I know. I was having an argument with someone on Facebook about that, and I just totally got myself irritated. So we won't be discussing that again. But I think that, you know, there's also this great area that I think people are true. I hate saying, oh, we're too PC in this country. No, there are areas where I think being politically correct was a good move. It is a a better way to go.
Well, like I said, by being political,
it's become an ugly topic. But in some ways, it is better than, oh my God, you know, we're seeing all these people, you know, swastikas reemerging as the general consensus of the people who like to, you know, spray paint on things. That's not PC. I don't think we've got too far.
I think people go, well, I'm not going to be PC. I think a lot of those people are saying that so they can be an asshole. There's a difference.
Yeah.
You can say uncomfortable truths or uncomfortable things that you believe, but you don't have to be an asshole doing it.
Right. I mean, sometimes I'll think, wow, you know, am I just like a terrible curmudgeon because I'm thinking this about something that everybody else seems to accept? Like, I was all bent out of shape about the movie Pretty Woman. What is this teaching girls? Hey, you can be a whore, but as long as you find a rich guy to bail you out, it's good.
Hello. That's my fucking people's tradition. Don't fucking knock it.
I'm sorry.
It's kind of how we've raised our, you know. Listen, ladies, you don't have to work. You marry yourself a nice doctor, a lawyer, maybe a CPA. And you get some credit cards. You don't have to give blowjobs anymore. You just lure them in with that like a prostitute would. And then, you know, I mean, we teach our women the same thing.
Oh, God.
And it's not just the Jews that do it. I mean, you know, it's a newfangled thing to think that women have self-worth outside of being
can, like, determine their own future.
But, you know,
that can be self-determining.
This might not be politically correct, but you know what? Being a hot whore, not a bad fallback plan. Not a bad plan B.
Maybe I'm just angry because I never was a hot whore.
Well, listen, you decide to get an education. That's your right. You can do that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a plan B. You know, I mean, maybe I'm not being politically correct, but it's a lot. It's a, you know, or for some girls, it's a plan A. It's an option.
It sure is.
I mean, I would not want that for my daughter.
No, thank you, no.
But I understand I have different aspirations for her.
Good. I'm so glad. You're keeping your daughter off the pole.
I'm certainly doing my best. To be quite honest, I think she's a little too lazy for the pole. I don't think I have to worry about
it. I think she's a little too snarky for the pole.
Can you imagine?
Okay. Oh, my God. She would be obliterating the guys that would be sitting there salivating looking at her.
A guy offers
I'm dancing my ass off, and you big Jabba the Hutt slob, you're sitting there waving money at me. Really?
Just fucking rolls her eyes dismissively.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I have to worry.
She'd be slicing them. There would be no tips for that girl.
No, I don't have to worry about that. I do have to worry. I have to worry about her moodiness in the teenage years and making sure she doesn't become completely dour. But I don't think I have to worry about the pole.
No, you really, really don't.
No. So there, I got that going for me.
Yay
me.
Not gay you.
I said yay.
Oh, okay. I misheard. I thought we were off on another topic.
No, we've already done that. So, I got a problem with not being able to play patriotic music. I got a problem when, you know, people get offended by the flag. Listen, I'm not one of these people that, oh, you burn the flag, you should be thrown in jail. I get it. Freedom of speech. I'm fine with it. I wouldn't burn a flag. But if somebody wants to do that, so be it. I don't think the, you know, freedom of speech. At the same token, I'm not one of these people who go, oh, you should take down the flag. You hear these stories, too, where people have to, like, take down their flag. What the fuck is that?
People have to take down their flag?
There's been stories where somebody got offended by the American flag and they've been removed from buildings and stuff. It's ridiculous.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, look, there was a time where people were, like, after 9/11, where the country was brought together, and everybody was sort of like, in a moment, everybody gathered together in an us against them kind of mentality, like, we're gonna like, watch each other's back and circle the wagons here, where this is creepy, and, you know, yay our country.
That was a nice month.
Yeah, and it was fun. You know, there was fist bumping, but then there became this sort of strange era of, you had better be a patriot or else you're one of them, you Muslim commie.
Well,
that
came out after Bush wanted to take us to war in Iraq and people were speaking out against it. That's when it came out, well, you're not a patriot. That's where that came from.
Right. And for a little while, there was almost a sort of feeling like all these flags were coming out and people were almost like shoving the flag up your nose like, you had better be respecting this. And it's like, whoa, I'm your neighbor. Calm down.
That's
I'm not the enemy.
That's
what
still
are you doing?
That's still with a lot of people. I mean, a lot
of people. Yeah,
I
know. I know.
It's like, ugh. I get it. It symbolizes our country, but it also symbolizes freedom of speech. Relax.
Yeah.
People
need... I'm certainly not offended by our flag. I'm happy to be an American. At the moment, I'm embarrassed to be an American, but I'm also, I understand where I am and the privileges that come with being here. So, I'm very lucky by birth. Accident of birth.
You need to embrace that we have become our stereotype.
Yes, we have.
So you need to embrace that.
No, I will not.
The minority has spoken, and they get the president of their choosing.
I am not embracing it. I am not letting it grab my ass while it throws me around. I am not. I'm not happy about it.
We were also not allowed to talk politics of any sort, as that would be divisive.
At all?
No, not really.
On that station, you mean?
On that station, during that show?
Well, there is something to be said for places having a format.
Right.
And if it's a country music format and it's not a talk show per se, and they're like, this is what you're going to talk about, you're going to talk about country music, damn it.
But they do bring people in to talk about stuff. I mean, there was moments during the show where it wasn't just country music. Believe me, there was a lot of country music. There was a lot of country music. But, there were points where we could talk. Now, the interesting thing was, I was told before the election, the PD would talk to my friend all the time about politics. My friend did one. He just wanted to do a show. But this guy was really pro-Hillary. And, my friend is not pro-Hillary. So the PD was always talking about, after the election, when Hillary lost, all of a sudden, according to my friend, came the missive that there will be no more politic talking. So it screams a little bit. Yeah.
I say.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
It's a little bit sore losery.
Yeah, that's a little, it was all right when I had a chance, but
yeah.
Now, no, we'll have none of that.
That's
kind of sad.
Where I have the bigger issue is, wasn't it that the colleges were a place to exchange ideas, where you encountered people from different parts of the world who didn't think like you, and you would have these conversations, and as long as they could back up, their point of view, it would further the discourse. Isn't that what college was?
That's supposed to be the point of education. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But I guess that's leaving the colleges, and we've talked about that before, where they don't want to have certain speakers there. They shout down speakers. It's people who I don't really want to hear, who I don't like. I think the best thing you could do when you have somebody who's abhorrent speaking at your university is to not go inside.
Absolutely.
I think nothing speaks volumes like an empty auditorium.
Well, there's also the point that when you are paying to go to college, part of your money is going towards paying for these speakers.
Right.
Your student activity fund.
Right, but sometimes these organizations hire speakers on their own.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, and if that's so, then you speak with your feet, But if I would have an issue if, I was at college still and there was someone who was just, if they decided to have Hitler as a speaker, it's like, oh no, you're not using my tuition money for that.
Oh, I'm coming to see Hitler speak.
Are you?
I want to see that puppet show.
Well, today, that would be a puppet show.
Exactly.
The moment I have to reanimate his corpse, but...
Exactly.
But, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I just think we're in a bad place as a country where we can't have an exchange of ideas at the universities.
Yeah, it's really piss poor if that's what's going on, is that education is being thwarted by the idea that either someone will be offended or that it's going to become a bloodbath. There's no in between.
No, and I think at the university level, it tends to be more the left that are the delicate snowflakes.
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
At the university level. It's just a shame that's happening. Joe, settling in. Should we take a break or should we get Joe's quick take on this? What do you want to do?
I think we have to take a break.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come. We'll do the second part of the show. Joel will join us. We'll talk about Star Wars and a Trump boycott of Star Wars. Damn it! Because we're nerds and we're right wing nerds and we're gonna boycott shit too, like our left wing counterparts. On the break, Fabian Del Grosso with his new song "Hey Ho Beginning." Fabian Del Grosso with "Hey Ho Beginning."